This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozelle for Sunday, January 24th, 2016. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. And I am live in studio, despite 30 inches of snow in Fairfax and Dulles and the Virginia side of the Beltway. But I'm here. Why? Because you deserve it. And that's why we're doing this program. Give me a call, 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. It is cold outside, but you know what? It looks like a winter wonderland. I took a lot of pictures yesterday and today. Had to shovel my driveway out three times. I mean, and we have a monster driveway. This thing is like long and wide, and it drifts and it blows. And but you know what? Cabin fever and I, well, I learned because I grew up in Western New York State, and you know how to get around in this stuff, and you make sure that when you're driving, you go easily. The roads are snow covered in many places, and many of you probably are not going to get out for about a week. And I mean, because the secondary roads are really full. It's a beautiful day. It's gorgeous. Go outside and play, walk, go build snowmen, throw snowballs, do that kind of stuff. In the meantime, listen to the program. 888-630-9625. We do have a program for you today. We have one that may be very, very poignant given the weather. And, you know, you add that to what I call snowback, but we're not going to talk about that today. But it's your base. It's your feet. It's, you know, those things that when you walk on those dogs, they make you hurt. You say, ouch, and they burn sometimes, and they have sharp shooting pain, and they swell, and they throb. But, you know, who better than to talk about this than the professor, Dr. Harlan Browning? And you're stuck, aren't you?
Yeah, I literally just got in from shoveling out three times myself. So needless to say, I'm going to need at least a couple adjustments over the next couple of days to get my back feeling better.
Well, I'll be there tomorrow, so I'll take care of you, buddy. You
know, okay, perfect.
Just remember, exchange is a good thing, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yesterday, you know, shoveling out that monster driveway of mine, at the end of the day, I'm sitting there, and I'm taking Tramiel, and I'm taking Arnica, and I am in a hot shower, and I am stretching, and I'm saying, you know, did I really want to do this? And then I woke up this morning and felt really good, so about 6:30 in the morning, I got out and did another 4.5 inches that had fallen overnight.
All right, well, feel free to swing by my place later to help me finish up.
No. It's all on you, my friend. Anyway, this Wednesday evening, which is the 27th of the month, you're going to be doing a presentation on foot and ankle problems. And
sure,
we're going to talk about that because, you know, the thing of it is when your dogs, your feet aren't working the way they're supposed to, and nothing else works really well. I mean, you're walking around and you can't move. You want to sit down, and everything from things that they call plantar fasciitis to even bunions to gout, you know, arthritic conditions, fusing of the feet. It's the whole ankle foot problem. Why don't you walk us through this thing? And where I want to start this from, Dr. Harlan, is simply this. How common are primary foot problems? I mean, are they by themselves or do they come from other places? And what are those connections?
Well, I think you certainly can have primary foot problems. So, you know, a lot of people have flat feet, and what that basically means is you're not maintaining the normal anatomical arch. And as that arch collapses, it puts a lot of strain on the ligaments, the tendons, and the joints. So certainly we can have primary problems. But you're going to also see people who have foot problems as a compensatory model for maybe an arthritic hip they have or a bad knee that's been bothering them over the years. So it certainly can go both ways. But, you know, when I do a workup on a patient who's presenting for pain, certainly chronic type pain, I'm always going to consider the feet as being maybe a primary component or certainly something that might propagate the issue over time. Even something like very distal away from it, like a shoulder issue, can be greatly increased because of poor foot mechanics.
So you're dealing with the feet. You know, we treat in our office a lot of professional athletes, and we treat a lot of weekend warriors. And we know that foot stabilization is critical, making sure that the whole structural system is balanced and firing the way it's supposed to. So you have a patient that comes in, and, you know, they're complaining, my feet hurt. And, you know, you ask them the question, when does it hurt? Does it hurt all the time? Is there a distinction, if you will, to somebody who says, my feet hurt only at nighttime when I'm laying down, opposed to somebody who says they don't hurt when I'm laying down, but as soon as I get up on them, I walk around, I'm in trouble?
Well, if a person is having pain more weight bearing, then I'm certainly going to look at the foot mechanics and the structure. And you got to look at the shoes. There's a lot of people, especially ladies, who are wearing shoes that are just not right for their type of foot. When you have a narrow toe box, that's the front part of the shoe, it basically funnels all of your toes inwards. And that in itself causes a lot of torsion in those joints. And over time, it'll cause those joints to deteriorate. So things like bunions and rigidity in the big toe will happen. So looking at the shoes certainly gives you a good indication. And then watch the person walk. You know, visually inspect them. How do they walk? Do they swing the leg properly? And then in our office, we use a lot of, you know, high technology stuff. We have a machine that actually watches you walk. And the information that we get from there is tremendous to figure out exactly what we need to do to address the problem.
888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. My guest today is Dr. Harlan Browning. I was just about to say in studio, but you're hiding in your house. But nevertheless, we're talking about the program that Dr. Browning is going to be doing at the Results Center for Healing this Wednesday evening, the 27th at 7:30 p.m. And it's on foot conditions of all types, whether you're suffering from a plantar fasciitis problem, arthritic conditions of the feet, just difficult walking, your stride is off, you have something called tarsal tunnel, there's your repetitive stress fractures. And that brings up something, Dr. Browning. Years ago, there was, when the Wizards were the Bullets, I used to treat one of their guys, and he was a guard. And he had repetitive fractures of the feet, and they were doing all kinds of things for him, but because of the weight bearing, because he was jumping, because he was shooting, he'd come down and he'd miss. He'd be out, you know, for a month. He'd be out for, you know, 2-3 months. He'd be out for a few weeks, and he was always breaking these long hairline stress fractures of the feet. And what we found with him was that, in fact, the impact was doing it, but it was a result of an osteoporotic situation that you wouldn't think about in an athlete, particularly of his caliber and at that time of his life. But the key was that he was drinking sodas.
Yeah, so the phosphorus in the soda will slowly leach bones. And then, you know, there's a rampant epidemic of vitamin D deficiency, and if you don't have ample vitamin D inside the cell, then you're not going to assimilate calcium. So certainly osteoporosis in an early age is becoming more frequent. That's not a good thing. And, you know, for the most part, it's asymptomatic. We don't have any symptoms until a person starts to present like this ball player who's just repeatedly getting, you know, stress fractures in the small bones of his foot.
How much does the circulation of the entire body, particularly the lymphatic drainage and, you know, the small vessel patterns in the feet, contribute to just pain, as they would say, from unknown origin, idiopathic pain?
Well, I would certainly say that, you know, blood supply is extremely important for removing, you know, lactic acid and that type of thing. But I would actually trump that and say that your lymphatic system, as far as foot and, you know, problems below the knee, is a little bit more important, because if we're not removing fluid, then we start to develop what's called a compartment syndrome. We have a limited amount of space. Now we have gravity and a person who's standing, and all that fluid starts to accumulate. We see a dependent edema in people who have coronary heart conditions, you know, failures to get this. So their issue may be that they have a cardiovascular problem that's presenting as a chronic, you know, swollen ankle per se. So I think you definitely look at both of those, certainly in people who are older and certainly people who have cardiovascular risk, and diabetes as well. Definitely got to put diabetes in there.
Yeah, now let's talk about diabetes, because, you know, you see all the ads, you know, you see feet on your television screen, and they're screaming, right? Those little nerve roots are firing, and they want you to take this drug to slow it down and so forth. how do you distinguish really between just a foot neuropathy that is due to something other than diabetes and a diabetic? I mean, is somebody who's borderline diabetic, are they going to show foot pain, or is this a scare tactic?
They're probably, borderline diabetic probably is not going to start to show foot pain. When I start to consider diabetes as being, the primary cause, I'm going to look for it almost always to happen in both feet. It's usually going to typically start distally all the way at the end of the toes and then move upward. What happens is as sugars accumulate in the blood and they don't go into cell, then they start to bind to our proteins, and those proteins can be in our nerves, it can be in our soft tissue, kidneys, eyes, and all those things. And we develop these complexes called advanced glycolytic end products, which means that we basically take the protein and caramelize it. We add sugar to it, and that's irreversible. So slowly over time, that person that has diabetes is going to see slow progressive changes. So it's one of those things that you need to get on top of quite quickly, because as you lose feeling in your foot, now you're going to go to a place where you're going to risk the slip and the fall because you don't really know where your foot is in space.
Okay, so the question becomes, and you said, my brain, the way it works, something that's not reversible. How often is a situation where we've got a diabetic problem where they're forming this crystallization within their foot? In fact, is it always unreversible, or can the patient put themselves in a program that will resolve the problem, support the problem, make it better without medication?
Oh, certainly. And I guess that's the important part is the person needs to identify that they have a problem. So in many cases, in the majority of those cases, those things are definitely treatable. You can improve them dramatically, but it's a matter of the person stepping up to the plate and admitting to themselves that there's something not right here. And, as opposed to the gym just thinking their foot is a little colder than the other one, they need to understand that they're just losing feeling at all. So changing the diet, monitoring the blood sugar level, and in many cases, just reducing the amount of carbohydrate consumption, including fruit. A lot of people think that they're doing themselves a favor by eating, three or four or five pieces of fruit a day, not realizing that it has a lot of sugar in it.
888-630-9625. That's how you reach us here. My guest is Dr. Harlan Browning. We'll be your host, your presenter, this Wednesday evening at the Rozelle Center for Healing, the 27th of the month, 7:30 p.m. You should be able to get out of your houses by then. And be our guest. Join us and find out about what's making your feet hurt and throb. This is an opportunity to really understand what the mechanics are. And as Dr. Browning was saying earlier, it's the old story of the foot bones connected to the ankle bone, connected to the knee bone, and so forth. And reverse. It can come from the other portions of the body. We're going to come up to a break in about a minute or so, Dr. Browning, and I want to touch on this when we come back. Talk a little bit about how that ankle and that foot and that lower portion of that leg is controlled by the nervous system, controlled by, an imbalance in muscular patterns that, and unfortunately, in so many different conditions, they just throw foot supports on them.
Yeah, so, as we know, every organ and muscle in the body has a nerve that innervates it or gives it information. So specifically below the knee, those are the lower lumbar segments. That's the L4, L5, and also the first few sacral segments. So it's the low part of your back. So for a lot of folks that develop, an insidious type of foot problems, and they're not sure where it's coming from, it very well may be happening because they have a degenerative condition in their low back. And you also see situations where nerves will start to be entrapped in the periphery between muscles. So there's some folks that get foot issues because the nerve, as it passes out between the spine and goes underneath muscles and passes between them, slowly gets compressed. So you need to put that in the picture as well.
Hold that thought. We're coming up to a break, and we're going to pick this up as soon as we come back. 888-630-9625. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, we're in studio despite the snow. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live in studio on this Clean Up the Roads and Make Sure You Stay Off the Streets Day. That's why you listen to me. And you have nothing that you should take you away from this program. 888-630-9625. If you'd like to get a hold of any of our doctors at the Rozelle Center for Healing, when we're not on the air, all you need to do is call 703-698-7117, the same number used to register for Dr. Harlan Browning's presentation on painful feet for this Wednesday evening, the 27th. And you can also go to our website at rosellecare.com. That's R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E.com. Dr. Browning, you still there? Okay, there you go. All right, so listen, let's talk about this foot a little bit more, and let's get specific. So, you know, we talked a little bit about, before we broke, about how the back and the upper portion of the body is related to the lower portion and the foot particularly. But let's talk about a specific condition. Let's talk about plantar fasciitis. It's one that seems to bug a lot of people. And, you know, as you know, patient presents, well, I have plantar fasciitis, who told you my doctor did, and they have, you know, all the inflammatory levels, the swelling, they have the irritation and so forth, but it can be much more than that. Why don't you walk us through it a little bit?
Yeah, plantar fasciitis is inflammation of the plantar fascia. That's the sinewy connective tissue on the bottom of the foot. It's most common in people that have poor foot mechanics, specifically who flat feet or what we call pes planus foot. If it stays inflamed for a long enough period of time, it can lead to heel spurs. So that's a new growth of bone on the back part of your heel called the calcaneus. So, but in either case, these types of problems usually present with pain with walking, especially after resting first thing in the morning. And they can be, you know, extremely, you know, uncomfortable. So the quicker that you can address it, the faster that you can fix that problem.
So a problem like this, you know, it's called a plantar fasciitis, and you have, you know, pain from the heel to the lower portion of the foot and so forth. It can be a calcific tendonitis of the foot as well. But in this situation, how often does it relate to the calf muscles, and there's two layers of calf muscles, being overly tight or misfiring?
The classic pattern that I see as far as muscle dysfunction is, like you said, we'll see too much tightness in the calf muscles. That would be one called the gastrocnemius, another one called the soleus. Those are the ones that push our foot downwards. And then conversely, we have weakness in the muscles that actually physically give us an arch and hold it up. There's a muscle called the tibialis anterior and the tibialis posterior and anterior, and they keep the arch upwards. So if we have too much contraction of the muscle that pushes it down and weakness of the muscles that actually hold it up, then the foot has no other option but to collapse.
So when a patient presents with that type of problem, they've gone to their podiatrist, they've gone to their local doc, they've injected them with steroids and so forth to put the fire out, and they come to you. And, you know, we both know that this is fixable. In the majority of cases, it can be resolved. How does that work? How can, you know, something that has been causing so much pain, you know, generally be resolved in a functionally relatively short period of time?
Well, when you look at a foot, it's made up of 26 bones and 33 joints. So each one of these joints is extremely important in the ability for us to walk, support ourselves against gravity, and more importantly, dissipate the forces of our body. So in other words, works as a shock absorber. So some of the things that I see classically involved in all foot conditions is those joints in the foot are becoming fixated and they do not absorb shock. So the ones that still do work are taking in too much of the abuse. So you need to restore the mechanics of that foot. In other words, you need to make sure all of those joints are in harmony. And then from that, you need to look at the musculature, as we referenced before. Are we getting support from the muscles that actually physically should hold the foot up? And in many cases, the person has hip issues that they don't even know about. They have what's either called a retroverted or antiverted hip. In other words, they hold their leg outwards too much, or they rotate it in, and the end product is it's going to be absorbed through the foot. So you kind of stepwise have to put all these things into place.
My guest today in studio, Dr. Harlan Browning, your presenter, your host this Wednesday evening, the 27th, 7:30 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing on foot and ankle problems. You need to make a reservation for that, 703-698-7117, 703-698-7117. Tell my staff you'd like to be there. And remember, we only have limited space, and it's 7:30. You'll be out by then. You'll be plowed out by then. So make sure that you give us a call. We'd love to have you as our guest and be able to walk through this. Dr. Browning, we're going to pick this up again when we come back from the break. However, real quick question. When it comes to these types of conditions, how often do you see that these foot and ankle problems are a result of a torsion and an instability between the two bones of the lower portion of the leg, the fibula and the tibia?
You certainly see that. There's a muscle I referenced before called the tibialis posterior. It's as it sounds, it's in the back part of the leg. It's very deep, and its responsibility is to hold those two bones close together. So as that muscle weakens over time, and typically we don't condition that muscle like we should, then as those bones spread, and we're talking about little millimetric spreading, it's going to put a lot of strain on the ligament. And that in itself will often cause a lot of types of pain, especially around the top part of the foot, the instep, and around the ankle itself. So
we'll talk about that more when we come back. We got to come up for a quick break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. Don't go away.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. I am in studio. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. That's how you find me here and how you attend Dr. Harlan Browning's presentation on foot and ankle pain and all those things that keep your, you know, from your knee down to your toes very unstable. You call the office at 703-698-7117, 703-698-7117, and tell them that you'd like to be there this Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. And, you know, remember that those of you who try to wait to make reservations 2 weeks ago for Dr. Scott Lamp's presentation. Guess what? We had a full house and we had to put you off and we did it twice. And sometimes we don't do it twice. Sometimes we just say, hey, sorry, you're going to have to wait till next time. But anyway, 703-698-7117. Let's go to the phones first. Carolyn, thank you for being so very patient.
Hello, Dr. Rozell. Thank you very much. May I please start with a thank you?
Oh, sure. Of course.
Right. On your December 27th program, I called in. My mom's 99. She was not able to urinate fully on her own. I was catheterizing her. You recommended artesian bottled water. I bought that. And also, when I gave her coconut water, you mentioned organic. I have not catheterized her since December 27th. So I want to say great. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. That makes me feel great. That was worth coming to the studio today.
Thank you, doctor. Question today. She was diagnosed in 2011 with an MRI and also in 2012 with normal pressure hydrocephalus. She's 99, and she said many falls over her lifetime. I give her homeopathy, acylococcinum, sinus, allergy, just to relieve the pressure. It's particular when there's a change in the weather, like what we're having now, and almost every day there's a change. I don't want to give her Tylenol, although it does help. I would like your...
Carolyn, give me more specific. How does she feel when this happens?
Yes. She doesn't complain. She says, I have no pain, but I have pressure on the top of my head, or it can be in the frontal lobe area. And at that point, she feels better when she lays down. But she's very active going to and fro the bed to the commode. She can't sit still.
Carolyn, how do they diagnose the normal pressure hydrocephalus, just out of curiosity?
MRI, doctor.
They did. And what did they find? Did they say that did they just rule everything else out, so that must be what it was?
Yes. Yes, I have the report, but I don't want to belabor you with that.
No, it's okay, because the reason I ask you the question is simply this. A lot of times when they do an MRI and they don't find anything else, then they come up with these tags, a normal pressure hydrocephalus, which if there was a hydrocephalus problem, if there was swelling of the meninges of the brain because of too much cerebral spinal fluid and so forth, you would see that. It's demonstrable.
It could be. I think that might be it.
So here's the situation. Here's what I would tell you to do, something that is very benign that you're not going to get in trouble with.
Mm-hmm.
If your mother, if she was in my office, it would be a very specific approach to this. But have her lay flat on her back where you can reach the underside of her skull with your fingers.
Yeah.
And use all of your fingers, like all four of them except for your thumb.
Yeah.
And then just allow her head to just be cradled with your fingers against the bottom portion of her skull. So you're exerting a slight, just a very slight tugging action on the skull, and just have her breathe in very deeply through her nose and out through her mouth, very slowly, very purposefully. And, you know, do that for maybe 5 or 6 minutes and just have her head just totally, totally relax in your hands with a little bit of tugging pressure on that. Then, with her head supported on a pillow so her body is kind of even, use your fingers and gently, gently massage the muscles of the skull. There's 22 bones in the skull. And all of these guys move as you breathe in and out. And if there's a buildup of spinal fluid pressure, often it's because these bones, these sutures, aren't moving the way they're supposed to. And so subsequently there's pressure. So that's where she's feeling that pressure at the top of the head. It's almost, you know, just use your fingertips and massage, but do it in a symmetrical way. If you're going to do the temples, massage the temples, just stroke them in one direction, pull down in another, and so, but very, very gentle as she's breathing in and out. Not hard pressure at all. Very light, maybe 2-3 pounds of pressure at the most, and see if that begins to help her. Make, you know, again, with the water that she's taking, that should make a difference. Another thing you can do is when you have her hands in, her head in your hands, and you're exerting that tugging action, have her, as she's on her back, as she's breathing in and out, bring her toes, flex her toes towards her nose, just from her ankles, just flex her toes, bring them up as she's breathing in, and as she's breathing out, let it go out, and that'll assist in spinal fluid motion.
Should I touch her toes?
No, you don't have to even leave them alone.
Just the toes, not the ankles.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to you're going to bend from the ankles. Okay, the toes are coming towards the nose. You know, you have to bend them from the ankles. So you're going to bend the foot. So you're going to bend the entire foot towards the nose. None of what I'm telling you is going to cause any issues, but in fact may get that spinal fluid motion moving and allow the cranial sutures to open up and breathe the way they're supposed to, and you may give her a lot of relief.
How many minutes with the ankle flex?
Oh, just as you're holding the head, you know, 3 to 4 or 5 minutes. Just nice and easy, relax and so forth, and just let her be very comfortable. And then, Carolyn, let me know.
Oh, you're wonderful. Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Doctor. Bye-bye.
888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. My guest, Dr. Harlan Browning. We're talking about foot and ankle problems. Dr. Browning, still there?
Yes. You know what? I'd like to throw in a little extra piece on that last call that you just took.
Please do.
I would also look carefully if this, obviously, if you're 99, the person probably has partials or maybe even full dentures. And you need to make sure that those dentures and those partials and the TMJ mechanism as a whole is stable, because that will certainly cause increased pressure over time.
You're absolutely right on the mark with that. There's so many patients and so many people generally that have bad fitting dental appliances, everything from partials to implants to work that they've done with crowns and so forth, and it causes the TMJ to be totally unbalanced. And as you and I know, it's the pump of the skull itself. And if it's not working properly, you can have that type of presentation and that type of symptomological representation. Let's go and talk about that knee bone to the ankle bone to the foot bone. Talk a little bit about tarsal tunnel. And, you know, we all know what carpal tunnel is. It's in the wrist. But we got a tarsal tunnel problem that now is foot-related. What does that really mean?
Well, tarsal tunnel means that we're getting compression of a nerve that goes to the foot. And it usually happens, it's on the inside of the ankle. And there's a piece of sinew there called a flexor retinaculum. And what that means is it just basically holds things and maintains things in place and also protects it.
Like plastic wrap.
I'm sorry?
Like plastic wrap.
Yeah, exactly, like plastic wrap. So underneath of that, you have your arteries, your veins, your tendons, and nerves that pass through, the tibial nerves. So when we have too much pressure on that nerve, then it's going to affect the muscles that it goes to. So the person may get some pain on the inside of the ankle or some numbness and tingling, but very often what will happen is they'll just see slow progressive changes in the way that their foot feels overall because they start to lose stability. You can spe- specifically test for compression of that nerve, you know, diagnostically, but it's just as easy to go through, and you can actually tap over top of the nerve to see if it reproduces it, and you can test the muscles that nerve goes to. Very often, to address that problem, you're going to manipulate, and you're going to move that ankle bone because it's almost always putting too much pressure to the side, similar to what you would do with a carpal tunnel problem.
You know, it's amazing to me how the body is put together. It's rigged similarly in many different situations. We talk about the wrist, we talk about the ankle, and the truth of it is that as we're walking, we call it gait patterns, you're going to have one arm and one foot move the opposite extremities in synchrony. And so subsequently, something that goes wrong with the wrist can go wrong with the ankle and vice versa. There is that neurological correlative, and we see it very often, you know, with our patients. Let's talk a little bit about, I want to go back to shoes, because we see so many people come in and their feet are destroyed simply because of what they're putting on their feet. And, you know, you mentioned that women with high heels and so forth, and, you know, the old joke that we make that as long as the shoe manufacturers continue to make high heels, we'll continue donating to the retirement funds. It's going to just be business for us with ankle, knee, and low back problems. But let's talk about feet and the boxes that we put them in that we call, you know, shoes. Good, bad, which ones?
Well, you know, first and foremost, you know, an elevated heel is going to be problematic for the sake that it's going to do two things right off the bat. It's going to shorten the muscles in the calf, what we call the triceps serrae. So over time, those muscles will get shorter, and we don't want them to get shorter. We actually want them to stay at a good length. And number two, the heel is always going to cause the foot to ramp downward and jam in the bottom of the shoe itself. So heels in itself can be problematic. And then, like I said before, the toe box, that's the configuration of the very front of the shoe. How round is it? How much does it allow for all the toes to sit in there flat? The issue becomes if everything is wedged down, then toes are going to jump over other toes. And as that happens, then the ligaments are going to shorten over time. And what you'll see, and I see it all the time, or you see it, you'll have a person take their shoe off, and half of their toes are sitting on top of the other toes. So these are changes that occurred over time, and if you don't do something about them, then the joints are going to break down, and we're going to develop arthritis in the foot as well.
You know, it's crazy. When you have patients take off their shoes like that, often if it's been there for a while, they'll have these spacers that are put in.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, to hold them apart. Well, that's not the fix. The fix is to, you know, to work with the musculature and the ligament structure on the underlying portion of the foot. You know, often when a patient has, the beginning stages of Morton's neuroma where they're jamming, you know, that nerve as it goes into, you know, the posterior portion of the foot, you know, I just pull back on the muscles and the toes straighten out. They flatten out. And I said, look, this is where it's coming from. You don't want surgery. You don't want to get that, you know, that scalping done of the toe and so forth. You need to have, and then you go through and, you know, golf ball therapy and working the muscles of the foot and the ankle and the calf and so forth. It's amazing to me. Let's talk about flip-flops, you know, because we see so many people today just kind of, you know, I'm going to put my flip-flops on and I'm going to walk down the street and whatever. They say they're comfortable. Good or bad?
You know, I think it's a toss-up depending on the flip-flops and the person's, you know, foot mechanics. For the short term, you should be able to wear them and get away with it. It's the person who lives in them has very poor foot mechanics, and the orthotic usually does not provide much support. The worth of any shoe or any, you know, device that we put on our foot is actually how well it stabilizes what's called the subtalar joint. That's the back part of the foot where the calcaneus, the heel bone, meets the other bones in the foot itself. So if we can keep those bones in the back part of the foot stable, everything in front of it has a tendency to be more stable. So when you look at a flip-flop, because there's nothing holding the heel in place, and it often requires the person to engage the flexors of the toes, in other words, to claw down onto the flip-flop itself, it can certainly cause problems.
Now, the thing that I've seen, and I'm asking you, you know, for a specific reason, you know, people who are just kind of hanging out, they're walking around, they got the flip-flops, but if they're moving quickly on these, these flat, no support, as I call them, just shock absorption types of things, and sometimes they're good and sometimes there isn't. They've got to claw their feet to tighten them not to lose the flip-flop. And that in itself is going to cause a much greater impact onto the foot and particularly into the toes and so forth. And that's where I have an issue with flip-flops. It's a different type of situation, or they try to canter, if you will, and that's not a good situation for the foot itself. 888-630-9625. That's how you find us here. And when we're not here and you'd like to get a hold of one of the doctors at the Rozelle Center for Healing, you can easily do that by calling directly 703-698-7117. And that's the number that you register for this Wednesday evening's presentation on foot and ankle problems and the pain that goes along with it. Everything from diabetic conditions to pain you don't know where it's coming from. You've had way too many injections in your foot and it's time to get them fixed. Or suddenly your knees and your back and your hips aren't working the way they're supposed to. And they may be coming from these two dogs that you're supporting. Or supporting your weight. So 703-698-7117. And if you'd like to get a direct question, go to rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com. We're coming up to a break. And when we come back, Dr. Brown is going to talk about the class and what you're going to learn by attending and what it can fix. And by the way, with all of our presentations, you're going to learn how to fix things. So if you have problems, you really know what to do and what the next step is. We do these for you. These in-house continuing education programs, as we affectionately call them, are simply to educate you, to try to give you the data that you need, the information that you need to make your life better. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live, as you do every Sunday, the same time, same old place. If you're on the East Coast, it's 12 noon. And because we know there's so many of you listening to us all over the country and in some cases overseas, do the time math and, you know, join us. You know, if you're on the West Coast, it's 3 hours earlier. If you're overseas, well, you know, or you can get us online. All of our programs are available. You can go to Rozelle Radio to pick them up. You can go to our website at rozellecare.com. You can go to the station's website, and they host several of the programs there, and they're usually available for your re-listening within a couple days after the program. So do that for yourself. My guest today has been Dr. Harlan Browning, your host and presenter this Wednesday evening at the Rozelle Center for Healing. He's going to be talking about foot and ankle problems and where they come from. Dr. Browning, before you get into describing the class this Wednesday evening, I got one other question for you. Barefoot, good or bad, particularly when you get home, get those shoes off and walk around barefooted.
You know, you should have no issues, you know, doing that, if assuming you have a normally functioning, healthy foot. Now, if we take that one step further, in my personal beliefs on barefoot running, I'm not a big proponent of it because it involves changing the way that we run. But walking barefoot should pose no problem on a healthy foot. Now, when you're walking barefoot, if you're having issues, that's a flat out sign that your foot is losing integrity and that you're almost relying on the shoe itself to support you. So, again, I don't see any issues in it when the person has a healthy foot.
Talk about the class this Wednesday evening. Who should be there and why?
Well, you know, we certainly get people that come to all of our seminars that don't have the problem that we're talking about just because they want to learn more. So I'd say first and foremost, if you want to learn more about the way the foot works and the things that go wrong with it, then this is going to be a good evening for you. And obviously for those people who have unresolved, you know, problems, they've tried things and it's not worked for them, and they're considering that there's probably something else out there. Well, there most likely is, and we'll probably talk about those things. We're going to look at functional issues with the foot itself, and we're going to look at other issues in the body that will cause the foot to have problems. So we're going to cover a lot of different bases, but I suspect that, you know, for most of the people that have foot problems, we're going to talk about their issue and give them some more information on it.
You know, it's an exciting time for all of us when we prepare for these presentations, because we do them for you. We do them so you can have the information, the knowledge to have a decent and intelligent conversation with other health care practitioners, but more importantly, so you can be proactive. You can take the next step in helping yourself. It's critical. You have to be your own doctor. You know, years ago now, it's time's passing, 3 years ago when my book was published, Ageless Health, Health is a Do-It-Yourself Program, it was written simply because of you. I want you to have the data. I want you to have the information. I want you to be the keynote, the captain of your own ship, and to be able to be proactive. This Wednesday evening, Dr. Harlan Browning is going to give you another piece of the puzzle, so to speak. He's going to open the door to things that you can do for yourself to make life different. And, you know, if you know somebody that's having problems or their gait is tight, they're not working, even with yourself, you don't have full flexibility in your feet, this is going to be an opportunity. Are you going to give them things to be done at home that they can do by themselves?
Sure. Well, that will definitely cover what makes a good shoe versus what makes a bad shoe. We'll talk about exercises that everybody should be doing for their foot, regardless of pain or not. And then we'll certainly give strategies for things that they can do moving forward to minimize the likelihood that they start dealing with the arthritis and the heel spurs and all those types of things. So definitely a lot of take-home information.
You know, if your feet aren't working the way they're supposed to, if they're not moving gently and completely, you've got a problem that can affect your whole body. This is an opportunity to really find out what you can do to make a difference and to find out if there's anything that is wrong with your foot. See you next week. Love you all.